Amen. Well, at this time, if you have your Bible with you, if you'll please turn with me to Hebrews chapter 11 as we continue our series on growing in faith. And one of the things we said right at the beginning of the series is that Hebrews chapter 11 is the most detailed chapter about faith in the whole Bible. And so as we work our way through this chapter, we are just learning more and more about faith. And in the opening verses, we really learned three major principles of faith. And these three major principles are the ones that we're going to keep coming back to again and again in this series. And these three major principles teach us the definition, the foundation, and the expression of true biblical faith. So what's the definition? That's what we learned first. Faith is being certain of realities that we do not see. That's the definition of faith, principle number one. What's the foundation? The foundation of faith is this. True biblical faith is always based on the Word of God. That's the foundation of our faith. And then what's the expression of our faith? True faith always expresses itself in action. In action. We're going to see these same three principles worked out over and over again in all of the Old Testament examples that are set before us in the rest of the chapter. We've already seen some already, right? From Abel. Right? From Abel, we learned that faith means giving God the first portion. From Enoch, we learned that faith means believing God's goodness. And then from Noah last week, we learned that faith means heeding God's warnings. So we're working our way forward through the Old Testament. Now today we come to Abraham. Now Abraham is one of the most important figures in the entire Old Testament. He is the first of the patriarchs. He is the one with whom God made his covenant concerning the land of Israel and the people of Israel. Abraham is also the very first person in the Old Testament who was specifically commended for his faith. We read about it in Genesis chapter 15, verse 6. It says, Abraham believed the Lord, and God credited it to him as righteousness. And then Abraham's importance in the Bible continues even as we move into the New Testament. In the New Testament, Abraham is called the father of faith, and he's called the father of all who believe. And so it should come as no surprise when we come to our faith chapter, right? Hebrews chapter 11, all about faith, that Hebrews chapter 11 gives more space and more details about Abraham than any other person. In fact, Abraham gets 8 whole verses in Hebrews chapter 11, far more than anybody else in this chapter. And these 8 verses we're going to be looking at over a number of weeks. We're just going to be in Abraham for a long time. But they demonstrate 3 different aspects of Abraham's faith. Verses 8 through 10, Abraham demonstrates his faith how? By following God's leading. And then in verses 11 and 12, Abraham demonstrates his faith by believing God's promises about his future descendants. And then in verses 17 through 19, Abraham demonstrates his faith by his unquestioning obedience to God with regard to his son Isaac. Abraham, folks, he is the ultimate example of faith from the Old Testament. So this morning we're going to begin to look at verses 8 through 10, this whole first section that deals with Abraham, demonstrating his faith, how? By following God's leading. It's actually going to take us 2 weeks to cover these verses. I was going to do it in one message, and the message was going to be about an hour and a half long. So I said, well, I can't do that. We got to split it up. So today we're going to look at verse 8, just verse 8, and then next week we'll look at verses 9 and 10. So we're in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 8. If you'll please stand with me for the reading of God's word. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 8. Says this, by faith, Abraham, when called to go to a place he would later receive as his inheritance, obeyed and went, even though he did not know where he was going. This is the word of God. Please join me in prayer. Well, Father, as we look into your word now, I pray that you would indeed speak to our hearts, teach us about faith, help us to grow in this particular part of faith, following your leading. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. Please be seated. So today we're talking about following God's leading. Now, our message today is not a message about discerning God's leading, okay? Those are two very similar and related topics, but they should not be confused with each other. Discerning God's leading deals with this question. How do I know what God wants me to do? How do I know? Now, that's an important question, isn't it? That question is actually worthy of an entire message or series of messages in itself. How do you know what God wants you to do? And you know what? For Abraham, it was real easy. You know how Abraham knew what God wanted him to do? God just told him. Wouldn't that be great? God just told him, and then he knew. But what about us? Because God doesn't speak directly to most of us today, right? So how do we know what God wants us to do? How does God speak to us today? And we need to be careful here, okay, in discerning God's will, because we can be very good at convincing ourselves that whatever it is that we want for ourselves, that must be what God wants for me too, right? And rarely is that ever the case. So how does God speak to us today? Once again, that would be a whole message in itself, just a quick summary. God certainly speaks to us through his word, through the Bible. In the Bible, God gives us what? He gives us wisdom. He gives us instructions. He gives us principles which help us to discern his will for us in so many areas of life. And then God also speaks to us through the Holy Spirit in our hearts. He speaks to us through the collective wisdom of our fellow believers. And God also speaks to us through his providential ordering of circumstances. And once again, I wish we had more time to go into all that, but we don't, because today's message is about a different subject, right? Today's message is not about discerning God's leading, but rather following God's leading. Let me share the difference with you. Once again, discerning God's leading deals with this question: how do I know what God wants me to do? Following God's leading deals with a different question. Once I know what God wants me to do, in other words, after I've discerned God's will, once I know what God wants me to do, how should I respond? That's what we're talking about today. What does the Bible tell us about following God's leading? And using Abraham's example, Hebrews chapter 11 teaches us three things about what it means to follow God's leading in your life. All three of them have to do with faith. Once you know, okay, once you know that God has called you to do something, you've discerned God's will, how do you respond? Number one, you need to set out in faith. Number two, you need to continue in faith. Number three, you need to look forward in faith. That's what verses 8 through 10 teach us. We're going to look at those second and third responses next week. Today, we're just going to look at that first response. One thing we're focusing on now. Ready? Setting out in faith. How do you follow God's leading? You begin by setting out in faith. So, let's talk about that. God's called you to do something, okay? You've discerned his leading. And now you want to follow his leading. That means you've already been praying and reading God's word. You've been talking with other Christians and getting their advice. And God's laid something on your heart. And it could be anything. Perhaps he's calling you to start a business or calling you to change jobs. Maybe he's calling you to go back to school or to move to another area. God may be calling you to end a relationship, or he may be leading you towards a relationship or towards marriage. Perhaps God is leading you to a greater level of involvement in the church or in ministry, or maybe God is just calling you to make some important changes in your life or at home. All of these are common examples of ways that God can lead in your life. And then once you have properly discerned God's leading, now like Abraham, what do you need to do? You need to set out in faith. That's what we're talking about this morning. What does it mean to set out in faith once you realize, once you've discerned what God is calling you to do, that God's calling you to do something? So let's go back to our verse now. Hebrews 11, 8 says this: by faith, Abraham, when called to go to a place he would later receive as his inheritance, obeyed and went, even though he did not know where he was going. And folks, this is the ultimate example of setting out in faith. God told Abraham, Abraham, go. Abraham obeyed God and went, even though he had no idea where he was going. That takes faith. What does it mean to set out in faith? Okay, let's see what we can learn now from Abraham's example here in verse 8. First of all, Setting out in faith. Setting out means you follow God's leading promptly. Promptly. This is our first major point of our message now. Follow God's leading promptly. We find this at the beginning of verse 8 where we read this. By faith, Abraham, when called to go, obeyed and went. By faith, Abraham, when called to go, obeyed and went. And you can actually translate that phrase, when called to go, you could actually be translated this way, while he was being called, okay? While Abraham was still being called, God's calling him. Abraham said, oh, I'll go. Just like that, he followed, obeyed, and went. Abraham obeyed and responded immediately to God's leading. Prompt and decisive action motivated by complete trust in God's word. We find a parallel in the New Testament, right? When we look at Jesus and Jesus calling his disciples, right? When Jesus called his disciples to follow him, we read this in the Gospel of Mark. It says this, at once they left their nets and followed him. At once, how did the disciples respond when Jesus called them? They responded immediately. Setting out in faith means following God's leading promptly. Once again, it's important here that we do not confuse following God's leading with discerning God's leading. This is very important because the process of discerning God's leading, that often takes time. That's not like a flick and a switch, is it? You need to pray. You need to apply biblical principles, apply common sense, talk with people. Pray some more. Explore various options. Pray some more, right? Discerning God's will, that is a process that takes place over time, and you should not rush that process. Now, sometimes God makes his will clear to you very quickly, but more often than not, God makes his will clear to you over time. So, if you think that God may be leading you to change jobs or to move your family, don't rush into that decision, okay? Never make a large decision in your life rashly. Pray about it. Seek godly counsel. Do your best to discern God's will. God will make it clear to you over time. But, okay, and here's our point right now. Once you feel that you do know what God is leading you to do, you know is leading in your life, then it is important that you act on it promptly. In other words, if God is telling you to do something, you need to do it. And if God's telling you to do something now, you need to do it now. Do not hesitate or put it off. Do not give in to fear. Do not make excuses or delay. You know, we read about some would-be followers of Jesus in the Gospel of Luke. Luke 2 tells us that Jesus said to one man, he said to him, follow me. But the man replied, Lord, first, I like that, right? Lord, first, let me go and bury my father. Jesus said to him, let the dead bury their own dead, but you go and proclaim the kingdom of God. Still another said, I will follow you, Lord, but first, let me go back and say goodbye to my family. Jesus replied, no one who puts his hand to the plow and looks back is fit for service in the kingdom of God. What did each of these would-be followers of Jesus say to Jesus? They said, I'll follow you, Lord, but first. And Jesus is saying what? He's saying there are no but firsts when it comes to following him. There is a reason God is calling you. And there is a reason God is calling you now. True faith does not hesitate or delay. True faith trusts God and his timing completely. So setting out in faith means what? First of all, you follow God's leading promptly. It may take you some time to discern God's will. It may take you some time to get there. But once you know what God is telling you to do, you follow God's leading right away. Point number two now. Secondly, setting out in faith means you trust God to cover your losses. Trust God to cover your losses. And at this point, you might be saying, well, wait a minute. What's this about losses? You didn't say anything about that before. What do you mean, my losses? All of a sudden, it doesn't sound so good, does it? Let me tell you, there is great gain in following Jesus. But let me also forewarn you that there is also great cost. And following God's leading in your life often means letting go of things that you really don't want to let go of, right? And sometimes you can't even see why God is asking you to let go of those things. But that's part of faith, isn't it? Trusting God with the things that you cannot see. Abraham followed God's leading, and you know what? It cost him dearly. And we first read about God's call to Abraham back in the book of Genesis. We read these verses earlier, but let's go back there for a minute. Now, Genesis chapter 12, verse 1, God says this to Abraham. He says, Abraham, leave your country, your people, and your father's household, and go to the land I will show you. Have you ever thought about what it cost Abraham to follow God's leading? What Abraham lost when he set out in faith? God told Abraham, leave your country, your people, and your father's household. Three of the strongest ties that we experience as human beings are the ties of place, culture, and family. Place, culture, and family. God told Abraham to leave all three behind. First, God told Abraham, leave your country. Leave your country. That's the tie of place. Now, because we live in a very mobile society, we often underestimate the power of place. But geographical place, that is an extremely strong connector. When you first meet someone, what's one of the first questions you usually ask them? You ask them a question about place. So where do you come from? Where did you grow up? We ask about place. It tells you something about the person. We are connected to place by familiarity with climate and with specific locations and by a multitude of specific memories that are tied to those locations. Ties to place are so strong that people in lands that are ravaged by war or famine, they often refuse to leave that place that they call home because the ties to place are so strong. Now, leaving a place with which you're familiar is hard enough. Arriving at a new place, that presents a whole new set of challenges, doesn't it? You have to learn things all over. Abraham would have had to adjust to his surroundings. Even today, you move from one area to another, it's not easy. Where do I go to buy bread? Right? Where do I go to find friends? Where do I go to church? Or just as important, how do I even get from here to there? You know, how do I find my way around? Abraham, get this now. Abraham was 75 years old when God called him to leave his home. That is a lot of history in one place. It's not easy to leave your home, your roots, the place where you grew up, especially if you've lived there all your life. Abraham left his home country. He went to a strange and unfamiliar land. Abraham had, first of all, to break the tie of place. But then God goes on. He says, leave your people. Leave your people. That's the tie of culture. And culture is another very strong tie or connector in our lives. People in the same culture, they share so many things in common, right? They share language, history, values, customs, rituals, food, and dress. And leaving your own culture can be a highly traumatic experience. In fact, when you leave your own culture behind and you enter a different culture, we have a word for that, right? We say you experience culture shock, right? Culture shock. Everything is new and different. Things that you took for granted, things which added stability to your life, they are no longer there. And the very ways of doing things are different. It takes great effort sometimes to accomplish even the most basic of tasks. You have to learn a whole new system and how to function in it. Culture shock shakes you and affects you at the very core of your being. And perhaps one of the hardest aspects of culture shock is the way you feel like you stand out from everyone else, that you don't really belong here. Some people are so devastated by culture shock that they never fully recover. God told Abraham, leave your people. Leave your culture. Abraham left his own people. He went to live among the Canaanites. a foreign people who had their own ways of doing things, a foreign people who worshipped false gods. It's the second thing Abraham had to do. He had to break the tie of culture. And then God said, leave your father's household. That's the tie of family, which is probably the strongest tie of all that we experience here on earth. Blood is thicker than water. And whether you come from a good family experience or a bad family experience, you know what? Family ties never really let you go, do they? We are all products of our families. And it's hard being away from family. It's hard when you're missing out on their lives, when they're missing out on yours. You know, at least today we've got computers and Skype and Zoom and cell phones and email and postal mail, and we've got new and advanced ways to travel, but you know what? It's still hard. Sometimes you just want to sit down with someone in your family and talk. My parents' anniversary this past week on Thursday, 65 years married, and oh, I just wanted to be up there and sit in their porch with them and hang out and talk with them. We miss our family's physical presence, something which technology cannot supply. God called Abraham to leave all three of these important ties behind: place, culture, and family. Following God's leading cost Abraham dearly. Now, I just spent a huge chunk of our message this morning talking about those three things that Abraham gave up, and there's a reason why I've done that. First of all, I want you to understand what Abraham had to give up in order to follow God's leading. I want you to know what it cost him to follow God. And that's important because I want you to know it may also cost you to follow God's leading. And even though God may not call you to leave place and culture and family, he may, right? But even if he doesn't do that, he may call you to sacrifice some other things in your life that are near and dear to you. But there's another reason why I spent so much time on these three things. Because these are the same three things that missionaries give up when they follow God's leading to serve him in another culture. They also have to leave behind place, culture, and family. They miss the familiarity of their home. They do experience culture shock, often severe culture shock when they arrive in the mission field, and they dearly miss their families. And understanding this, I hope, will give you a whole new appreciation for missionaries. Hopefully, it will also give you a new sensitivity to their needs. Because you know what? Missionaries are not superhuman people. They're not even super spiritual Christians all the time. They're just people like you and me. They're not immune to all this. Missionaries get discouraged. They get depressed. They struggle with finances and parenting and relationships just like we do. They have good days and they have bad days just like we do. But they do it all in a different country and culture, often far away from family and loved ones. God told Abraham, Abraham, leave your country, leave your people, leave your father's household. What did Abraham do? He obeyed and went. He left it all behind: home, land, security, family, friends. And once again, you can compare Abraham's response to Jesus' disciples. Did what when Jesus called them? They dropped their nets. They left everything behind in order to follow Jesus. There is a cost to following Christ. And sometimes God calls you to leave things behind that you love and cherish. The losses are real. They are painful. They are substantial. And yet we are called, in the words of one song, to abandon it all for the sake of the call. But even though the cost is great, and here's our second point now about setting out in faith, even though the cost is great, God has promised to cover your losses. Those losses are huge, but God has promised, I will cover those losses for you. We have these beautiful words of comfort and assurance from Jesus. In the Gospel of Mark, Jesus said this, I tell you the truth, no one who has left home or brothers or sisters or mother or father or children or fields for me in the gospel will fail to receive 100 times as much in this present age and in the age to come, eternal life. What a beautiful promise from God. God has promised to cover your losses. Following God's leading will cost you. And you know what? That's why some people never set out in faith. They never set out at all, because it takes faith to risk losing those things that are important to you. Setting out in faith means you trust God to cover your losses. So setting out in faith means, first of all, what? You follow God's leading promptly. That was our first one. Number two, it means you trust God to cover your losses. And finally, number three now, setting out in faith means you don't wait for full information. This is going to be a tough one for some of us. I'm a researcher. I like to get all the information I can before making a decision. You don't wait for full information. Hebrews 11:8 tells us this: Abraham obeyed and went even though he did not know where he was going. He didn't know where he was going. God did not give Abraham full information. He didn't say, hey, this is where you're heading to. He simply said, leave your country, leave your people, leave your father's household, and go to the land I will show you. Well, excuse me, Lord, what land would that be? I'll show you when you get there. Don't worry about it. Off you go. Sort of like a mystery trip, except Abraham had to leave everything behind in order to go on this one. God gave Abraham a direction, but not the final destination. When Abraham set out, he left no forwarding address. He could not tell his relatives where he was going because he did not know himself. Abraham knew that God knew the final destination, and that was enough for him. And so he set out in faith. How many of you like to know where you're going before you set off? Any of you? I kind of like to know where I'm going, right? How many of you like to not only know where you're going, but how are you going to get there? I know I do. When I plan a vacation or a long trip, I map everything out, okay? I book the hotel rooms. I schedule the driving time for each day. I check mileage, gas stations, rest stops. I leave nothing to chance, and I drive my poor wife, Rosie, nuts in the process, okay? Abraham did not have that luxury because God called him to go without having all the information. Abraham's obedience to God's leading is a stunning example of trusting God's word even when you cannot see. Setting out in faith means you don't wait for full information. You operate on the information that God gives you. You act on what you know, trusting that God will fill you in on the details as you go. When Abraham set out in faith, he didn't even know that God was going to give him this new land as an inheritance. God didn't tell him that right away. God didn't tell him that part until he got there. So he didn't even have like the carrot and the stick, you know. It's like, Abraham, go to a place you don't know, but when you get there, it's going to be your inheritance. Didn't even tell him that. He had to get there first. Abraham set out in complete faith, acting only on the limited information that God had given him. He knew enough to obey, and that was enough. Sometimes when God calls you, you got to set out in faith without knowing all the details. You don't know how it's all going to work out. You just have to trust that God knows what he is doing, and you follow him one step at a time. Now let's face it, let's be honest for a minute. If you waited to follow God's leading until you had full information, you would never actually set out, right? Because we don't always know everything. God doesn't tell you everything, and if he does, please let's get together for lunch and you tell me, because I'd really like to know. Why doesn't God tell us everything? I can think of a few reasons. First of all, if we had all the information up front, we wouldn't need any faith, right? If we could see where it all was going, how it was all going to work out, no need for faith. But when we obey God without all the information, without knowing all the details, that gives us the opportunity to exercise faith, which brings God glory. And then secondly, some things are on a need-to-know basis. And guess what? We don't need to know. And we may not like that, but it's true, there are some things we are just not meant to know, either now or sometimes even in this life. Need to know. And then thirdly, sometimes we're not ready for full information. Jesus said this to his own disciples in John chapter 16. He said, I have much more to say to you, more than you can now bear. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will tell you what is yet to come. God, in his mercy, does not tell us everything that's coming ahead for us. Why? Because we're not ready to hear it. It's more than we can bear. And if we really knew everything that lay ahead down that path, God knows that we might never get started to begin with. God will tell you what you need to know, when you need to know it. Setting out in faith means you follow God's leading promptly, you trust God to cover your losses, and you don't wait for full information. And I was reflecting on those three things, and I found something very interesting. That those three aspects of setting out in faith correspond to the three main reasons people often give for not following Jesus. The three main reasons people often give for not following Jesus. Reason number one why people don't follow Christ, they say this: I'm not ready yet. I have some things I want to do in life first. I can always come to Christ later. What's the answer to reason number one? Follow God's leading promptly. The Bible says today is the day of salvation. If God has been speaking to you about putting your faith in Christ, don't put that off, folks. Seek God while he may be found, the scripture says. Come to Christ today. And then reason number two why people say they're not ready to follow Christ yet, they say, well, if I come to Christ, I know I'm going to have to make some changes in my life. I don't want to do that. I'm going to have to leave some things behind. I'm not willing to do that. What's the answer to reason number two? Why people give why they say they were not going to follow Christ? You trust God to cover your losses. Because he will. Yeah, there's a cost for following Christ, but you know what? There is a far greater cost for not following Christ. And God has promised to cover your losses both in this life and the next. And then the third reason people give for not following Christ, they say, you know what? I would come to Christ, but I still have so many questions. You know, why is there so much pain and suffering in the world? And what about those people who've never heard about Christ? And what about the Trinity? I don't understand how God can be three and one at the same time. And what's the answer to reason number three? Don't wait for full information before coming to Christ. You don't have to understand everything about God and the Bible in order to come to Christ. I'm a pastor. I still don't know all the answers, okay? You're never going to know it all, and so you don't have to know it all to come to Christ. All you have to know is this. You just have to know that God loves you so much that he sent his only son to die on the cross for your sins so that you could be forgiven and live with him forever. And folks, that's pretty simple. Don't wait until you know it all, or you will never come to Christ. And so as we close out our message this morning, I want you to stop and examine yourself. Has God been speaking to you about something? Perhaps you've come to a place where you have discerned God's will. You've discerned God's will, and now it is time for action. But something's holding you back. You're hesitating. You know, perhaps following God's leading in this area is going to cost you. You're not sure if you can handle the cost. Perhaps you don't have all the information. You've been waiting for God to fill in all the details. Don't wait any longer. Once you've discerned God's will, you need to set out in faith. Set out in faith. Follow God's leading promptly. Trust God to cover those losses. Don't wait for full information because it probably isn't coming. God has a good plan for your life. Will you follow him today? Let's pray. Well, dear God, we thank you for Abraham and his example of faith this morning. We're just getting started with Abraham, Lord. There's so much you want to teach us from his life. But Lord, I pray that we have learned something very valuable this morning about setting out in faith, that once we've discerned your will, we've got to set out, we've got to respond, we've got to act on that. True faith expresses itself in action. And Lord, so often we just get stuck and we're just so afraid to move forward. But God, we don't need to be afraid because you are there with us. And if you're calling us to something, it's good. So Lord, I pray that you'd be with each one of us today. And Lord, as we are praying that we would be growing in our faith as we study this chapter together, help us to grow in this area of our faith, setting out in faith, responding to your call. We will abandon it all for the sake of the call, for the sake of our Lord Jesus. It is in his name that we pray. Amen.